Hello, welcome to the Reducer Shit Podcast. You listen, you idiot. So, me, Howard Smith, lead scum, Dave Klein, Liverpool fan, no time to say hello.
Hello.
And Dave Rothney, shut up. And Dave Rothney, Man City fan.
Hello.
So, hello. Right. We were talking about nicknames in football. And and Dave, you were saying that Scandi Carroll doesn't work for you because it's, you know, he's not, you know, Erling Haaland.
In reference
shit.
To Erling Haaland. No, well, he's not. He's not shit.
Yeah, just to context from last week, if any new listeners were, Howard mentioned that Scandi Carroll is a nickname that had been given to Erling Haaland, and I thought it was a hilarious nickname. Obviously, he scored 5 goals in the week, and then Dave, you were kind of outraged that he'd been given such a...
Because I said if it's being used ironically, that's fine, because you cannot compare the two, other than they're really tall with top knots, ponytails.
I don't think football chants or fans invariably deal in irony that often. Certainly not when it comes to. And let's remember, not praising, slating a player on the opposition. I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it? I mean, it's Man United fans who came up with Scandi Carroll. They're not doing it to praise him because they love him as a player. And this is it with nicknames, though, isn't it? They're either amusing if it's player on player action. If it's players nicknaming players, like the famous old, you know, what's his name, Fitz All, who was nicknamed One Size, which is a bit of a legend from back in the day. Rothers, you've got the look on your face like you've never heard that before.
I don't know what you're... Sorry.
Fitz All Simpson. He was called One Size. One Size Fitz All.
Fitzroy Simpson, the Man City
it's probably a different Fitz All, but it's somebody, it's Fitz Hall, one word.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, his nickname was One Size.
Yeah, just on that, completely unrelated. I was talking to a mate, well, kind of related to this, but not football related. I was talking to a mate of mine this week, and he's got a mate called Tim, who's about 6'5", and he's kind of broad with it and well built with it. And
is he built like as built as, oh fucking hell, I'll edit this cunt. Is he as big as a brick privy?
Yes, he may be. Yes, he's a big bloke, is the point. He's a unit, that's right. And my mate Johnny we were sitting there, and then suddenly this thing came up on his phone of the person name, and it was 1.3. It said on his phone. And I said, "What's that?" He said, "It's 1.3. It's his nickname, because he's a third the size again of a normal human. And his nickname's 1.3. And I just thought that's one of the best nicknames I've heard in a long time. All right, 1.3.
That's superb. But that's also a bit weird, though, isn't it? Because you can end up, like, as you just did then, all right, 1.3. It all sounds a bit sort of futuristic, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But a good nickname.
I'm fine, thank you, 2.7. How are you?
I think a strong nickname. I mean, footballers' nicknames, I think it's a strong theme. I just wanted to, well, we should think of some. I just wanted to pick you up on the irony point, though. I mean, you have to tread carefully on irony, because don't forget, John Terry, of course, when he racially abused Anton Ferdinand, he said he was being ironic. So, it's all very well kicking racism out of football, but I think it's time to kick irony out of football, you know.
I'm not sure. Racism is racism. It can never be ironic.
I know, that's my point. I was being sarcastic. It was John Terry's defence.
You were being ironic. You were double irony.
Racism can be ironic when it's being practiced by somebody of the same race.
Yeah, well, for example...
So that is racism, but it's ironic racism because they are from the same race.
Yeah.
So when Harry Kane
white bastard
died that penalty... exactly. That's what I said. What about Kane? I said, yeah, the useless white twat.
Yeah.
So that's ironic.
Damning.
Yeah. And they looked at me and went, ah, yeah, exactly. What has the colour of his skin got to do with anything?
I'm just strapping on my...
when it comes to taking penalties.
I'm just strapping on my mind detector here as we walk into the minefield of three white guys talking about racism.
Three progressive white guys.
Of course, absolutely.
It was my fault, and irony did the job. Well, no, it was irony did the job. So let's move straight away from it. It's nicknames that we're talking about, and that was the topic and the subject, and let's stick to it. So, can anybody think? Oh, I mean, look, I'm thinking of Bradbury, bought by Man City, who had the letters of his name rearranged to Bad Bye.
Take the R's out of it.
And in a similar vein, Paolo One Shot.
what was his nickname?
One Chop, and it was One Shot.
West Ham, Man City. Was he in Newcastle as well, Paolo One Shot?
And I think we've forgotten Derby.
Was he Swindon as well?
Derby as well. Well done.
Not
Swindon, Charlton.
I think it was for Derby.
Yeah.
Maybe Derby, that he scored that amazing goal at Old Trafford.
Yes.
But anyway, let's not focus too much on the on one player. Eddie Murphy. Fucking hell. Let's stay away from racism, shall we? Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank christened Fat Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Although I did like Jimmy Floyd Piggy Bank.
That was Leeds fans, Floyd, Fat Eddie Murphy was Man City fans. That was that was when he was playing for Middlesbrough, which I thought was like absolute class. Managerial nicknames. I'm trying to think of if there is any, but it's kind of like
Roy Shit Hodgson.
Yeah, I might have known that. It's weird though, isn't it? Because like we abuse managers, but it's like Yank Lampard for Jesse Marsh, but I can't think of anything. It is a good. Oh, best one of the lot, Colin Wanker. For those of you uninitiated who don't know, that is an anagram of Neil Warnock.
Really? Who came up with that?
You'll hear Colin referred to. And you might like it, and it might just fly by, and you won't realize why. And it's a player has blurted it out or something like that, you know, who used to play for him or something. Yeah. Neil Warnock, Colin Wanker.
Really? So, talk me through the etymology of this then. Who came up with this? Do you know?
Ah, now that I don't know. I'm really hoping his wife, Sandra, she's a lovely lady. She's a lovely lady. They're a cracking set of lads. They are. They give me everything at the moment. But you know, the shit, and you know, there's nothing I can do. I mean, you know, I could move up here from my lovely southern place. I could move up there and be there all week. It makes no difference. They're bloody rubbish. What do you think I'm here for?
That's a brilliant impression.
Thank you.
So, on that note, then, Howard, because we were discussing last week and we didn't quite finish of shit managers, and I was going to put him in there, but I don't know. So, would Neil Warnock discuss? Because I kind of love him in a way.
I'm going to put him in the shit managers for one reason. it's not a reason; it's a fact. We always like dealing in facts as opposed to opinion, which is going to be.
Of course, you hate opinion.
Exactly. Or just make out your opinion is a fact. That's always a good one.
That's right. That's the Yorkshire way.
Exactly. But the fact is that we said Premier League managers. In that case, he's shit. He either takes them down or gets sacked. End of story. Next manager.
All right, but if we can dig into it a bit more, if only to fill time. What about he's got a great record of bringing clubs up, and he's got a ready line in the press conference. What do you think of him? He kind of like everybody seemed to love him, didn't they? And then didn't. I just wonder what.
Warnock, get you promoted. Rule number one: sack him, get somebody else in to buy players and keep you in the Premier League. If he gets you up, golden rule: sack him.
He's one of those managers. He's like Sam Allardyce. I used to hate playing in Liverpool because you'd know they'd do a number on you. They'd get like a scrape a draw or sometimes just you know, 1-0 win or something. So
yeah,
it's just one of those. And for that, I do have some respect for him for that reason.
I mean, I'm the only one here who's had surprise, surprise. Well, no, actually, I'm surprised Rothers hasn't, but I've actually had him as a manager of my club. And
was he at Leeds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I forgot all about that. I remember him at Sheffield United.
So basically, you can look at him from afar and think what you like, but then, you know, when he comes to your club, you get
the full-on experience. It's like Hodgson and
the full-on experience, mate. No. Hodgson's a fucking Rolls Royce. Neil Warnock is a fucking mini. Jesus. So anyway.
Sorry to keep harking on. Yeah,
I know. Roy Hodgson managed Inter Milan, managed Switzerland, managed England. Neil Warnock.
Hey, on the Warnock thing, I think it's interesting.
He's fucking horrific. It's like you're anti-football. Anti-football.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not a fucking coincidence that he's got like a reputation for playing shit football, for playing hoofball. That's exactly what he does. Literally hear from centre-back saying we're like, you know, when he first arrived and he saw us, he's like watched one of his centre-backs in training. He was just watching and he went and stood behind the goal and one of the centre-backs took two touches and he said, my centre-backs don't take two touches. I said, and the rest of the game was spent hoofing the ball into the fucking trees.
Brilliant.
I mean, you're right about, you touched on a good one there about, because I remember he was never a City manager. And I always thought he could, you know, we're in the depths of despair. You do, there is a moment in your club's fortunes where you think it's time for Neil Warnock. And I think at that time he was above us. He wouldn't go.
Yeah, wouldn't touch you. Yeah.
Just on other managerial nicknames, this made me laugh purely because it was just ridiculous. After Mourinho was sacked from Chelsea the second time and went to Man United, obviously that stoked a lot of resentment among the Chelsea fans. Yeah. And a Chelsea fan, they took to calling him the checkbook Pulis. Mourinho.
Wow.
I know. Wow. It's not, you know, it's not terribly. I thought that was great, though.
Brilliant.
That's an audacious nickname, that.
That's brilliant.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because we do, you know, if you stray into Mourinho's reputation has become, funnily enough, especially he's the man that sort of really popularized or put it out there in modern parlance, Premiership wise, the phrase park the bus. And he was referring to teams coming and parking the bus at Chelsea. And his Chelsea teams were free scoring, high scoring teams.
First time he was there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And,
but when
he was over at Madrid, he was you know, they were banging goals and he was managing fucking Ronaldo. You know, he wasn't, but it seems to have kind of like he's become cagier. As time moves on, or football's changed around him and become more attacking and become more front foot. And rather than adapt, he's stuck to, you know.
I think it's the latter, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, he's stuck to what's won him a trophy at every single club he's been at, apart from Tottenham. it's kind of strange how his, you know, his image has kind of morphed over time.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, I mentioned Pulis. I mean, he was a good manager. He is a good manager. I don't know where he is now, but you know, his time at Stoke. I mean, that was, to your point, Dave, about a team you never wanted to play. Stoke was in
awkward,
that
awkward fixture.
Was in that category under Pulis. They were just knew them.
Stoke on a wet Tuesday night, wasn't it? It was just standard, you know, standard. And it's moved its way out of football now. You know, people even talk about it in, like, you know, other terms and other sports, and you know, Stoke on a Tuesday night in February or whatever. It's where Arsenal used to go to start the end of their season. You know, every year, for God knows how many years, you'd have Arsenal fans turn of the year still in four trophies, could still win four trophies. 3 weeks later, in none, playing for the top four, just the top four. That's all.
I think they'll be all right this year, though.
Well, I've thought about this. I've thought about how this season plays out. Here's some ideas for you, right?
Okay.
Liverpool make it into the Champions League as Newcastle tumble out, you're going to end up with Man City, Man United, Arsenal, and Liverpool.
You reckon?
Okay. And I think Tottenham are going to fail to get Champions League football. However, what they are going to do on the last game of the season, Harry Kane is going to score his last ever goal for Tottenham in the Premier League before making his move to Manchester United in the summer. However, tragically, that goal will be scored at Elland Road and will relegate Leeds United to the Championship.
Bloody hell.
Later on, Man City are going to lose the league to Arsenal. However, to make up for this, they are going to win the Champions League for the first time ever.
Do you reckon?
When you said you thought about that, I didn't realise you thought about it so much. I love this, the narrative prediction, the narrative prediction for how the season's going to pan out.
That's all our clubs.
So just to chip in, I totally agree on Liverpool.
Just to chip in, how dare you chip in about your own club?
With the caveat being that I was surprised about the Bournemouth defeat because I thought on the back of the United drubbing, I mean, I made this prediction back and I still stand by it. I said on this podcast with its massive listenership about 6 weeks ago, I said, you know, Liverpool are just going to go on a run now and they're going to win 10 or 12 on the bounce and they're going to get Champions League football because that's what they do. And I still think that's going to happen. I mean, they had a setback against Bournemouth, but I still think, to your point, Howard, I think they're going to get that fourth spot. And it kind of almost... There's a bit of me that is, I love Klopp. Liverpool are a great team. But there's a little bit, the only reason why it annoys me is because Liverpool fans love a comeback story. I mean, they love it. So just so they can say, that's why I want to say, no, you're going to get top four. Because I can't bear to hear Liverpool fans saying for the next 6 weeks, oh, we've blown it.
Yeah.
And then make it and go, oh, was this our greatest ever season?
As a
Liverpool fan, I mean...
I just think we're just going to fall away. I just think we'll... And the last thing we want is bloody Europa League or Europa Conference, whatever.
You're not going to be Conference.
I'd sooner finish 8th or 9th than get either of those two. I can't see it. We were shit the other night and we were terrible against Bournemouth. It's just like, they're just devoid of ideas.
To be fair, I don't think you were terrible against Bournemouth, but I do think Bournemouth deserve a lot of credit out of that game.
Oh yeah,
They played really well. And I think, whisper it quietly, Klopp got a little bit of a lesson in tactics, from a guy who's, just starting out in his managerial career. He set up to play a way that he thought, Liverpool would struggle to handle, and he was right. And let's be honest, you missed a penalty. Yeah. Salah missed a penalty. Mm. And terrible, you lost 1-0 to Real Madrid away. None of that is fatal.
No, you see, in a way, because the week before, everyone was gloating. Oh, 7-0 United. It's like, in a way, I'd have preferred us just to beat United 1-0, not lose to Bournemouth, and maybe come away with a bit of respectability against Real Madrid. There was no way we were turning that tie round, by the way.
Yeah.
But to either draw it or win narrowly in the Bernabeu would have been...
Yeah, but mate, you can't have everything.
So it's like, it's like 7-0. I was like, yeah, let's not get carried away. You've got to keep going.
Yeah, let's not get carried away. It happens every week. It's not really the heaviest defeat in a generation. Yeah, don't celebrate that. No, don't celebrate the heaviest defeat of Man United in a generation. No. If you can't celebrate that, mate, it's pretty...
I'd sooner be where they are. They're pushing for the... they're not going to win the league, but at least they're pushing for it. They're still in Europa League. They're still in the FA Cup. They've already won the Carabao. So
I'm with Howard. I can't see who else is going to take that fourth spot. I think Newcastle, this
Tottenham
is the point of the season
place.
where their squad, the thinness of their squad comes home to roost. I think Tottenham, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, Conte, to me, is doing the Mourinho tactic of how to get out of a club, is you just kind of keep talking till they sack you so you get your payoff. Yeah. I mean, it's the non-resignation resignation.
It will also, Conte's doing the old, like, if they play well, yeah, you know, and win or whatever, then it's all about what he loved seeing, and, you know, this is what the team. And then, literally, next game, lose. Maybe I'm not the right guy. Yeah. Whoa, fucking hell, what happened? Jesus Christ. Fucking hell, which side of the bed did you get out of?
Yeah. No, and so I think Liverpool top four. I think Arsenal will win the league. I think they've got that sort of the way their season is playing out. They've got that. You've just seen those key moments, and when you look back on a reel of a season, they've got enough of those now, haven't they? It was like the 3-2 against Bournemouth or whatever. Was it 4-2 in the end? And they've just had a few of those where City have won on the Saturday, and then and it was all eyes back on Arsenal, and they've just kind of like they blew away Fulham last weekend. They just got that. I mean, he is a Guardiola mini me in a way, Arteta. You know, and he was a massive part of our success at City as assistant manager, and he's got that. You know, he's just got that sort of thing that Guardiola's got. That there's more to him. Everybody just thinks Guardiola's tactical genius. I mean, genius is bandied about. But he's got the other side to it as well, which he knows how to build a team. He knows how to bond a team together. He's not bothered about being popular, but he knows what it takes to get a tight-knit unit who want to win. And Arteta has got that.
The thing I think that's interesting that Pep has identified as, like, his, not his secret, but something that he needs to do. And it's quite similar to Ferguson, actually, who realised this. Any managers who are going to have, you know, any kind of lengthy career at the very top need to have a philosophy that's going to work over time. Like, you know, and Ferguson's was, you know, keep bringing coaches in, you know, who are more hands-on than he is, but also he realised he got to a stage where once upon a time he was a on-the-grass manager. Then he became almost like a figurehead, you know, a Steven Gerrard-type manager. and what Pep has realised is that it's swapping players. It's getting rid of players if he thinks they're done. It's keeping people on their toes. Like, for instance, Jesus, Zinchenko, and your man who's gone to Bayern Munich.
Sterling. All right.
Cancelo wanted to play more. He's not going to play more. He's gone. Raheem Sterling wanted to play more. Mm-hmm. He's not going to play more. He's gone. Zinchenko, got a replacement for him coming through. Don't need. You know, and it's like, it's revolving door. You know, it's keeping, and if he's spotting players whose hunger is dipping, he lets them go.
Which is exactly what Liverpool haven't done.
And funnily enough, somebody said the other day, you know, is Klopp paying for being too loyal? I still think you're paying for playing more games than any team ever has done in the history of the universe last season.
Yeah, and loads of injuries. Loads of injuries.
And Sane
loads
going. Of injuries.
And a poor pre-season. Pre-season was disrupted. The World Cup's affected us. It's affected everyone.
Totally. I mean, you're quality.
Lots of mitigating circumstances.
You've got great strikers. That's coming through, and that is coming through. You're seeing it. So, I don't know where that loses.
Kleino, I know you've got to leave us. Rothers, should we carry on a little bit more?
Yeah, let's carry on banging our heads against the wall.
I've got another appointment with another media broadcaster. So.
You go and toddle off onto something that's not shit, and we'll carry on with this debacle.
I'm only joking. I've got an appointment.
He's off to BT Sports.
I've got to go and pick some meds up for my dog.
Why can't he do it?
Oh, okay.
Sorry, why can't he
entitled
do
pets?
It?
You're not going to see a man about a dog. You're going to go and see a drug dealer about some.
Yeah.
Yeah. For your dog.
Anxiety meds for the dog.
Who are you playing at the weekend? Can you remember?
Well, we got the weekend off because of the FA Cup. Supposed to play Fulham.
We've got our next manager coming to the Etihad, Vincent Kompany. We're playing Burnley.
I was going to say, what? You playing Brighton?
Yeah. Deserby.
I'll see you soon.
All right, see you later, mate.
Yeah, okay. Bye. Cheers, Dave.
Okay, dear listener, it's now just myself and Dave Rothney. That cunt Dave Klein's fucked off.
He didn't make the top three.
Yeah, he did. He just didn't make the top two.
It's true, I can't count. So I like your narrative prediction. Yeah. So I think it's a good one, and I'm gonna come back with mine. Well, so I think you're right. I think so. As I was saying, I think Arsenal have come through these kind of setbacks. So, you know, you always look back on a highlights reel in the season. I remember when we won the title one year and Sterling scored a late goal. It was 0-0. He scored a late goal against somebody. And you can tell from the over-celebration that ensued that it was like, that's a key moment in this title race, you know. Or, you know, more dramatically, when Vincent Kompany scored that goal against Leicester City. You know, there's moments. I think Arsenal have had so many of those moments and they've been the best team over the course of the season. Whether or not they can... The only thing that I think that will lose it for them is them.
Oh, yeah.
I think City are inconsistent. It's all about whether it gets into their head. But Arteta, to me, doesn't look like... He looks like he's managing it brilliantly. Because, I mean, he's seen it with City. You know, he saw us through two... I think it was two or three, maybe even three titles that where Arteta was kind of there. So, anyway, Arsenal to win. City second. Man United probably third, and I think I'm agreeing with you. Liverpool
clamber
fourth.
Into fourth somehow.
I'm not sure about Kane to Man United, but I guess if they don't get Champions League football, then yeah, Newcastle finish about sixth. Leeds, now I wouldn't like to say that, mate. It's only for you to say that Leeds are going to go down, but
it's so tight down there. 21 points, 22. 23. I mean, up until right up to Palace, anyone that they are like everybody is in the shit below Palace.
Palace are struggling, aren't they? Now the kind of Vieira momentum seems to be stalling a bit.
Yeah, well, they haven't scored a goal since the new year, since you came back from the World Cup. Palace haven't scored a goal. Yeah,
really.
And, oh no, is it haven't scored a goal or haven't won a game? But in the last three games, they haven't had a shot on target. So here you go, right? You've got Palace, 12th, on 27 points. 13th is Villa on 35. So there's an 8-point gap. So basically 12th and below. So Palace are on 27. Well, we're second, we're second to bottom. We've got a game in hand on them. On 27 points, we're on 23, down in 19th.
Right.
So basically, bottom is 22, 12th is 27. 5 points.
Mm.
9 clubs. Wow. 5 points separating 9 clubs. So if you look at those clubs, Palace, are they in it? Yes. Wolves, are they in it? They haven't had a striker score for over a year. Yeah. They're definitely in it. Forest, yeah. Everton, yeah. Leicester, yeah. West Ham, Bournemouth, Leeds, Southampton. Three of any of that lot can go down. But at the moment, it's Bournemouth, Leeds and Southampton. And I heard somebody the other day say, to me, that just sounds like the three that's going to go down. And straight away, you know what it's like when you hear these things as a football fan. You know, it's a reflex action. You know, fuck off, not a chance.
Mm.
And I sort of sat there thinking it through and went, yeah, it's quite hard to argue with that.
Right.
So
Bournemouth may scrape it. I mean, and who else? What about West Ham?
Well, West Ham, you see, the thing is, I look at all of those clubs and you start thinking about, right, managers. Out of those managers, who is going to do the better job? Who is set up to keep a team up? Yeah. So I think Javi Gracia at Leeds is, you know, he's been in it before, and so he's got experience of it. Dude at Southampton, not really. Dude at Bournemouth, not really. West Ham, well, Moyes, yeah, but not for many, many years. Leicester, I don't see, I just don't think Brendan Rodgers has I don't know. I don't think he's got any sort of relegation experience. Forest, Wolves, Palace. I mean, anyway.
I don't think Leicester will go down. I think they're too good.
I genuinely think.
Am I going to say they're too good to go down?
Yeah. And I genuinely think any of those teams can go down.
So we've got the... because you're an aficionado on European football. I mean, me and Howard have a long friendship. And in the early days of it, it's now the presenter's completely gone out of my head, even though I can see him now. Yeah. The Italian football on
James
Channel
Richardson.
4 that we used to watch. James Richardson, thank you very much. And so you know your European football. So we've got the Champions League draw in about an hour. So, obviously, I'm feeling good because City have, you know, but it's an interesting thing about this. So, first of all, Real Madrid can't seem to be getting past them. I mean, I was just going to ask you about this. I've been meaning to ask you about it all week. What do you think? What do you make of Napoli? I mean, they say, do you know much about this team? 26 wins out of 31.
The teams who are in the Champions League draw are AC Milan, Bayern Munich, Benfica, Chelsea, Inter Milan, Manchester City, Napoli, Real Madrid. Now, that is a wonderful list of teams. Some real big hitters in there. AC Milan, not been in the knockout stages for over 10 years. So the fact that they've got there this time is absolutely brilliant. Bayern Munich, standard. Benfica, they are not an easy draw. They have lost one game this season. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, all of a sudden it's like, okay, everyone's talking about Napoli. And I've got to be honest, Chelsea, Inter Milan, yeah, solid Inter Milan. Also, title winners. Man City, good team. Napoli, great team. Real Madrid, great team. So, I genuinely don't think there is an easy tie in there, except for, and I'm probably going to regret saying this, but except for whoever gets Chelsea. I genuinely think out of that list of teams, Chelsea are the ones you'd want. Because everybody else, like City in form, Napoli in form, Real Madrid in form, you know, Inter Milan in form, Benfica, Munich, Milan, well, you know, Bayern Munich, when are they not in form? So, and Napoli are looking like they're going to win the league and they're looking like they're going to absolutely stroll it, which is just incredible.
Great to see.
It is great to see. And I'm really pleased for them. And the thing is, as well, is, you look back now and remember that when it was like Liverpool's defeat to Napoli at Napoli when they got battered and everyone was like, oh, fucking hell, you know, oh, this is terrible. And what we've seen since then is that Liverpool haven't had a great season anyway, and Napoli are fucking brilliant. And that was kind of where it all started.
I think you're right. It's often the case in football, isn't it? We always fall into this trap of kind of always seeing a weakness in our team because we've lost, rather than sort of saying, yeah, but they were better, you know, and it doesn't mean that you were bad. It just means, I mean, you know, and I think you can't, I mean, looking at it, obviously I've got skin in the game here as a City fan. And for a start, I always hate, you know, to borrow from Grant Taylor, you should never predict. And I hate this idea that everybody says Man City best team. No, they're not. You know, going to be win the Champions League. No, they're not. I mean, you've seen the Champions League. Everybody who's watched the Champions League knows there are moments. It's a dense, thick competition where there's kind of moments that happen. You seem like you've got it, then you lose it. I mean, us against Real Madrid last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but I mean, everybody's got their story. I'm not trying to in any way sort of say, oh, woe was us, because it wasn't. But, you know, all these defeats, the deeper you get into that competition, the more painful and complicated and exciting the defeats are.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of the games seem to be like sort of Netflix box sets after, you know, some of them. You're like, hang on, 65 minutes seem to be winning this. You know, 89 minutes we were winning this. Now we're out. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I think personally there's one fascinating issue that happens in the Champions League that I'm always keen to keep an eye on. And that is who's going to get knocked out of the Champions League first, PSG or Man City? Because you just know that the owners of those two clubs are praying for nothing but failure for the other, for obvious reasons. So if City go on to, like, you know, to win the Champions League this season, the one team that will hate that more than anything, more than Man United, will be PSG. They will be, and there's a prime example of when you made a really good point there. Everybody always sees the game through their own eyes, through a fan's eyes. So you're always like, oh, we were rubbish, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and very rarely do you hear people go, yeah, but they were really good. Like, you know, although, well, we do that nearly every week at the moment, actually. It's like, well, yeah, but they were really good. And it's like, you know, and they're 1 point above us. But again, because historically, you play Brighton, historically, we're fucking Leeds, for God's sake. But that's not worth anything. And it's like when people say to you, like, oh, Leeds, oh, you know, you deserve to be in the Premiership. No, no one deserves, and it's not the Premiership, it's the Premier League, but you deserve, no one deserves anything. You get what you deserve. That's why that phrase has existed for so long. You get what you deserve. And so if you get relegated...
You were talking about PSG. You started off talking about PSG before we went into this point.
The PSG rivalry, it's almost like a sibling rivalry between PSG and Man City because the owners. I think they would be absolutely gutted. But they're a prime example of like, for instance, if City win the Champions League, it will be, oh, fucking hell, oh, you know, well, look at all the money they spent. Okay, look how much PSG have spent. Look who's in their team right now. Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe. So fuck off with your, oh, well, you're going, oh, fuck off. It doesn't count. No, seriously. You know, it's like, I remember when Blackburn won the Premier League. Oh, they bought the league. Everyone buys the league. Man United used to buy the league all the time. They used to buy the league all the time. Oh, Wayne Rooney is available. Oh, I wonder where he's going to go. I wonder who else can offer him the kind of money Man United will. No, nobody. Oh, there he goes.
Yeah.
It's a level playing field. So it's a more level playing field now. I mean, admittedly, it's you know, it's ruled by insane finance, but it's always played a role. So yeah, I think if City were to win the Champions League, it would be, you know, it'd be deserved.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure it will. I mean, the thing is that I normally at this stage, I mean, obviously Champions League is a new thing, and I've really reflected the kind of my attitude to now has really reflected that of other City fans, because people didn't get it at first when with Mancini and then Pellegrini and then Guardiola. It was like, well, why don't you not care about the Champions League? It's like, well, because we want to win the title. You know, you win the title, you win it once, can we do it again? And it's just still that buzz of, it's the best thing in the world to win the Premier League. And it kind of not really bothered about the Champions League. But now I think, now we have won the title multiple times, I think it is all about the Champions League in a way. And who do I want to? So normally I hate the idea of playing an English club. I just hate it. Always gives me the heebie-jeebies because it's like a Premier League game and anybody can beat anybody. And, you know, we lost against Tottenham. We lost against Chelsea in the final. But, you know, and I don't want to jinx it, but to your point, actually looking at the draw, the only team I actually feel vaguely confident about is Chelsea. You know, and it really is. Even though I hate the idea of an all-English tie because anything can happen. But, yeah, I don't want to play Bayern Munich at this stage of the tour. Real Madrid, no thank you. I mean, you just tick them off. I mean, Napoli are tricky. Napoli are tricky. You know, you could see them doing a job at Thetiad. Yeah.
Well, the thing is as well is that, like, you know, Napoli have got a real fucking cauldron of a stadium as well.
Yeah.
Although, again, looking at all those, and how cool, and this is the other thing as well. How cool is it that we've got three Italian teams? We've got three fucking teams, which are from Serie A, which I think is fantastic. Both Milan teams, and then, you know, the upstarts from the south, Napoli, sort of ruining it all. There is only two teams from England, but more importantly, only one team from Spain.
That's true.
I mean, look, Bayern Munich are always the German representative, and there's been four English teams through before, so we're now down to just two English teams in there. And three Italian, which, like I said, the rise of Serie A, and funnily enough, teams not being able to spend huge amounts of money.
Yeah,
and it would appear that it's not stopping anybody being successful or getting into the latter stages of the Champions League.
No, so I think I'm going to say Real Madrid again.
Right.
This is a pretty boring prediction. only because I wouldn't bet against Ancelotti, who is hands down probably, I mean, I've got to say Guardiola, but outside my own club, I think Ancelotti is just...
Okay, well, happening live, you have Real Madrid versus Chelsea. You have Inter Milan versus Benfica. You have Manchester City going to Pep's old team, Bayern Munich. Bayern, oh, Bayern wow. München.
Yeah, jetzt geht's los.
You're going out to the Germans. Apologies.
Wow, we have played them before. Played them a few times before in the Champions League. Oh, I'm assuming Cancelo is gone.
Oh,
what?
This is a Italian royalty. AC Milan versus Italian upstarts Napoli.
Oh, that's going to be out of a tie, isn't it?
Only two Italian teams can make it into the next round. Wow, that is yeah. That's something, that is. Although I've just refreshed my phone and that's disappeared. So, oh no, it's back.
Maybe they've gone to VAR. I hate that.
So, how do you feel about Bayern Munich, mate?
Well, we've played them before and beaten them, but I mean, it's at this stage of the competition.
They're not having a great season.
I know, but you know as well as I do that in these competitions, Champions League, as I say, as you get deep into it, it's kind of complicated. Complicated, as Pep would always say. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a hell of a buy tickets now. It's going to be...
So that's it.
God, how do I feel about that confidence-wise? I feel a 6 out of 10, where 10 is we're going to win and 0 is we're going to lose. I'm saying 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
Relative. So, all right, I feel about that. I think it's two relatively well-matched teams.
I would put... and to be honest... Wise after the event, but what I should have said was...
You made it all up.
No, what I should have said was... yeah, because there's a possible Milan derby in the semis. So right, you could end up with AC and Inter in a Champions League semi-final. I know.
Right.
So despite the fact that it's made of concrete, there's every chance that the San Siro is getting burned down. Yeah, that'd be amazing. That would be amazing. I would have said that Chelsea, given their erratic form... are possibly the easiest team. And I would say form-wise, after that, the second easiest team out there, which sounds ridiculous, is Bayern Munich, because they are having a terrible season. I mean, right. You know, you've got no fucking laughing boy at the back to worry about. I've got his fucking name. Mm-hmm.
Laughing boy being the goalkeeper.
Are you blanking as well?
I forgot this. This is a problem with middle-aged men trying to extemporise. Because Howard, I'm sure you'll know him. You'll know him as H, the lead singer, and also he's a fantastic compere and brilliant off the cuff. I'm sure you still are. But, I mean, that's the thing now, isn't it? It's like, who knows? Neuer.
Manuel Neuer. What name could I not get out of my head? Newman.
Yeah, well, it's close.
Yeah.
Newman,
yeah,
Neuer.
I know. But anyway, you know, that's...
Gary Newman. Yeah.
That's dementia for you, ladies and gentlemen. That's
no
a proper Neuer. Live. That's a proper live draw. Yeah, no Neuer, terrible form. Manager is getting stick left, right, and center. No one is like impressed with that guy. So yeah, I'm optimistic. And well, like I said, my feeling was City are going to win the Champions League.
Okay, so the Champions League. So what dates are the ties? Have you got that information?
Real Madrid playing Chelsea, Man City, Bayern Munich, AC Milan versus Napoli, and Inter Milan versus Benfica. All ties to be played this year. no, I haven't got the dates. They'll spread it out to get as big a TV audience as possible.
Well, I mean that rounds off the this week's episode nicely, I think.
It's been lovely.
Yeah, always.
And to you listeners out there, thanks for sticking by us, both of you. We'll catch you next week when we'll do an 11 of some kind. Fuck it. We'll think of something.
We'll have some ideas.